Well, did you have a wonderful weekend and a Monday on this Memorial holiday? I did not, because KFUO wouldn't let me come in to do my program. But they're making up for it by giving me a co-host here, and his name is Pastor Mark Smith.
Hi. Hey, Tom, you didn't have a good Memorial Day weekend, huh?
I don't have a good day when I'm not at KFUO.
Well, I understand that.
Although I had a wonderful worship service out in Fairfield, Illinois.
Great.
And we had a lot of fun there. But
what church is that out there, Fairfield?
Christ Fairfield.
Christ Fairfield. Huh?
Yes.
Good people, I bet, out there.
No, they started off the service saying they were poor, miserable sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So I took them at their word. You know, and I locked my car when I parked there. Of course, we start that way because that is the way a Lutheran liturgy is supposed to start. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. Have you ever had a worship of the Lord's Supper without the confession of sin in it?
No, I might have when I didn't.
Matins.
Early in my ministry, when I didn't really realize and appreciate the confession and absolution of sins. But now I put it in there. I make sure it's in there every service.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, and of course,
because people need to hear that absolution. They really do. They need to know. You know, you talk about forgiveness, you talk about Jesus dying on the cross, but they want to hear that my sins are forgiven. They want to hear that.
It's called the message of the gospel.
Yeah.
The law is the first part about recognizing we're poor, miserable sinners, and then the gospel comes through, and you do that instead of Jesus.
Or, what do you mean, instead of Jesus?
Oh, I mean in the stead of Jesus.
No, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins.
I used to think it was instead of Jesus.
In the stead of
Jesus. Instead of Jesus, I'm telling you.
You know, I had a seminary student when we used to sing the words, blessed is he, blessed is he. He grew up in Tennessee. He used to think they were saying, bless Tennessee, bless Tennessee.
Oh, my. Getting serious, Post-Dispatch had an article, and by the way, today is Tuesday, May the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2013, and in Ruminations, we kind of get you to eavesdrop on two pastors, but you can call in at 505-7850 in the St. Louis area or long distance.
1-800-730-2727.
And that's toll-free. Hardly goes a week by without something occurring in the Post-Dispatch, our St. Louis paper. And what was on the front page?
The front page of what, the religious section?
No, the front page of the Post-Dispatch about the priest.
Oh, the priest claiming, blaming the ministry of the church.
Yes.
For people, for suicide. Isn't that it?
That's very good. Homosexuals are committing suicide, and he blamed the church. Now, did it surprise you to find out he was a homosexual priest?
Not at all.
No.
In fact, I was suspicious when I began reading the article.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is from the Garden of Eden. You want to be like God. And so what he's really doing, he's blaming God, because all we are doing is expressing God's point of view.
Yeah. Hath God really said,
yes,
we shall not eat of the forbidden fruit?
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. God really said that?
Yeah, did God really say that's the serpent. And obviously somebody who can't control his homosexual abomination is going to try and justify himself. And we need to understand that every time you justify your sin, you are always blaming
God.
That's right. The woman you gave to me.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I was fine until you brought her into the garden.
Or the serpent that you created.
Yeah.
He taunted me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As, so that even though they think they're blaming something else, they're always blaming God. And that occurs even yet today. You know, if you hadn't given me the friends I have, I wouldn't have the problem. Now, I do believe that the Roman Catholic Church has removed him from ministry, yes. The bishop here, you know, he doesn't fool around with those things. And so that's good. But here's the Post-Dispatch putting him on the front page. You know, because a lot of secular newspapers today, you know, they want to sell paper.
Oh, yeah.
And they're anti-Christian.
It's a good story, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like a good story.
It gives people ammunition to complain about the church.
Exactly. And you know, I think Friday, I dealt quite a bit with the Boy Scout statement, indicating that I thought it was a very good Lutheran statement. And I've been getting a lot of feedback. I'd say 98% positive. And those that aren't positive, there are a couple who have some good arguments, and I'm going to be listening to them. And we're going to test out the Boy Scouts to see if what I think we can do, we're able to do. But that'll be coming down the line a bit. But the first reaction I almost hear from people, excuse me, I had to cough, is when you mention a homosexual, it just sounds like it's a different animal, you know, a different, and you don't want to be around them at all. And I think our people need to understand that if you send your child to school, public or parochial, you're sending them to where there are homosexual students. I know the parochial schools I've been involved with, even on the average, 2% would be having homosexual proclivities. I'm not saying they're acting them out. But what an opportunity, you know, at a parochial school to be able to help somebody. I mean, we would do that if he was a bully. You take him aside and express the love Jesus has for him, and then that love ought to be transferred towards others. I'm trying to think. You can get to a point where you finally do remove someone from a group. Like if in Vacation Bible School there was a serious bully and all he was doing just was disrupting. Picking up, disrupting, etc., you would phone his parents and ask him to be removed.
Yeah, you hate to do that, but sometimes it's the only way you can continue the program.
I know one pastor had problems with some confirmant kids. You know what he did? He had the parents come and sit there during confirmation.
That may help.
That did help that case. The
I
trouble
don't know
is
if it help or not. Sometimes.
Well, the trouble is you don't have parents to call sometimes.
Yeah.
Either it's a one parent family and they're at work or this sort of thing. But I got so many responses, and I've talked to a number of people about this, that I thought it'd be kind of interesting just to once more reinforce what the Boy Scout statement actually said. In fact, almost everyone I talked to, nobody had read the statement.
I haven't seen it myself.
Yeah.
You told me a little bit about it, but from what you said, it was I appreciated what you were pointing out.
Yeah, the two big things that the gay lobby were trying to get would be for them to okay homosexual activity, not just okay homosexual scouts. And second of all, to definitely change the policy for adults so that, let's say an Eagle Scout was a homosexual, that he could be a leader. And there are Eagle Scouts who are homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what they said. These are the two most important statements, in my view. The resolution also reinforces that scouting is a youth program, and any sexual conduct, whether heterosexual or homosexual, by youth of scouting age is contrary to the virtues of scouting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, a change to the current membership policy for adult leaders was not under consideration, thus the policy for adults remains in place, which means that they're not permitting homosexual leaders. And I pointed out that that agrees with the scripture. We've got places in Timothy and Titus. If you want to be a leader, even in the church, one of the criteria, you have to have a good reputation.
That's right.
And so, therefore, I don't see any problem at all with what they were saying. The thing that really got me thinking about what's so bad about this statement is that the United Church of Christ came out, says this, and these were their LGBT advocates.
This is their public statement, right?
Yes,
the United Church of Christ.
Right, right. And they're in quotation marks. And here's what they say. The onerous policy that discriminates against gay adult leaders remains unchanged.
They wanted to see the leadership
committed
to be gay, right?
Right, right, right. So they're saying that more work needs to be done for the BSA to be truly inclusive. And I began to think about that word inclusive. There is a Methodist billboard on I-170. It's a nice red cross and has. And, you know, they want to be inclusive. But so does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The difference is our inclusivity, where everyone is invited, stops at membership. In other words, anyone is invited to our worship services, our vacation Bible school, our Sunday schools, etc. But when it comes to the point of becoming a communicant member,
right.
What are the new criteria there according to the Bible?
Well, they have to be in accord with what we believe, teach, and confess.
That's right. And faith in Jesus Christ, right. And also in agreement with morality.
To the small catechism. We instruct them in the small catechism.
And the small catechism is really clear, you know, that sexual activity, especially in light of Romans 1, of same gender with same gender, is always an abomination.
Right.
You see, heterosexual activity is not always wrong. Like within marriage.
Between husband and wife.
Exactly. But there's no place in the Bible anywhere. Now, somebody was mentioning that, well, Jesus, yes, he sat and ate with prostitutes, but there's no time where we ever find him eating and sitting with homosexuals. Frankly, I can't think of any time in the Bible where there's a homosexual person involved in the ministry of Jesus.
No, not at all. They're mentioned in the Old Testament, of course, but...
Well,
the book of
Leviticus,
well, right, and Sodom and Gomorrah,
and
there,
yes, that's a good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's
send these two angels out so we may get to know them.
Yeah, right.
Remember that?
Yeah, and Lot said, "No, you can have my daughters. No, we don't want women." Yeah. So, and Romans is so clear. Now, the way these churches get around this is they first of all don't believe the Bible,
right.
And second of all, they make a distinction between the teachings of Jesus and the teaching of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to get people to understand that. I ask this question, who was the author of Romans, for example?
God.
Very good. Yes, not Paul.
Right.
Paul was the writer.
He was inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. So it really doesn't matter what book you're reading. They're all authored by God himself.
Right.
As 2 Timothy 3:16 says,
absolutely.
Remember?
All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof.
So what I have discovered is that when I first mentioned, and I did this in the sermon, I walked in and one of the, I think he was an elder, I said to him, what do you think of the Boy Scout statement? And every time I ask this, it's terrible. And I said, yeah, I think I'm going to have something in the sermon about it. I think the Boy Scouts finally became Lutheran. And he looks at me, he says, what?
I'll bet. I'll bet you shocked him with that one. Well, it is. You know, I mean, I'm a Boy Scout. In fact, I'm very proud to say I was an Eagle Scout myself.
You got that high?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, I love the Scouts. I've got great experiences, and they're very dear to me, you know, the whole concept.
But you weren't within a church setting.
No. No, I was a scout on an Air Force base. We had an Air Force troop, you know. And that's where I had most of my scouting, in fact, all of my scouting experience. We weren't connected with a church.
Yeah.
But you still had morality. I mean, the scout laws, everything, morally straight, it was the same.
Would you like to hear the chief scout executive, what he said in regard to being in a church? His name is Albert Fretwell. We recognize that there is no Boy Scout authority which supersedes the authority of the local pastor and the congregation in any phase of the program affecting the spiritual welfare of Lutheran men and boys in scouting.
I appreciate that.
Was that written
specifically to the Lutheran Church? Lutheran Scouting?
It's found in the Christian Cyclopedia, which is a Lutheran Cyclopedia. And let's see.
Was that a current statement?
No. This is Scouting in the Lutheran Church, published 1943 by Boy Scouts of America, but they have never rescinded this. I checked into it.
Okay, good.
This is why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will go into scouting where we won't be going into the lodge.
Right.
I mean, there's a two. We're talking about animal lodges that don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So somebody tried to give that on me. Well, that would be like the lodge. I said, no, 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 because it's very clear. We tell the Boy Scouts ahead of time that what you're going to be hearing is biblical understanding from a Lutheran perspective. And that's how we set up our Boy Scouts. In fact, the proceedings of the 39th Regular Convention of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod of Missouri, Ohio, and other states adopted this. Your committee believes that the matter of scouting should be left to the individual congregation to decide, and that under the circumstances, Synod may consider her interests sufficiently protected. And especially in light of the Boy Scout statement that homosexual activity on the part of youth is contrary to what they consider to be, and they use the word, their virtue.
Their virtues.
I mean, that's really good, I think. Now, our own Missouri...
Well, that's encouraging, in spite of the fact that, you know, they're opening scout activities up to these boys, and, you know, you begin scouting when you're about... Well, at least Boy Scouts when you're about 11 years old.
Is that when it is?
About 11. Now, Cub Scouting is...
Yeah, I was a Cub Scout first, so I was younger than that.
Yeah, Boy Scouts usually about, I think, about 11.
Well, can you imagine having a Lutheran hospital? All patients welcome except for homosexuals.
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean...
Of course not.
The only way I'm going to be convinced otherwise... is if we share with the Boy Scouts what our intention is, to continue to do what we have been always doing in the Missouri Synod, to teach the morals according to God's Holy Scripture. And if they say, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that any longer.
Then we have a problem with that.
Then we have a huge problem.
That's right.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And time will tell whether that happens. We hope it doesn't.
Well, the other thing is a lot of people arguing with me say... Yeah, cough here. They say it's only a matter of a couple of years before they're going to change this and allow leaders to be gay.
That's the slippery slope type of thing.
The reason I disagree with that is if you take a look at, and I put abortion in the same category as the homosexual immorality, the best time for the abortionists was in 1973 because at that point there were no restrictions. But since then, there was a wonderful Supreme Court ruling in the 60s that...
In the 60s?
No, I'm sorry, in the... It was 73, so I think it was the 90s.
73 is when abortion began.
Yeah, but the other more important ruling where the Supreme Court indicated that the states had the power to limit abortion.
And you mentioned earlier today when we were talking that Time magazine.
Yeah, Time magazine
talks about how the abortion movement is losing ground.
Yes, in many states now. Well, we have a good pastor friend, you and I, who does work in purchasing ultrasounds, because he tells us that when a woman who wants to have an abortion sees the ultrasound, 95% of them decide not to have an abortion, and 90% of their partners decide not to.
No kidding. Good.
Because they've been under the delusion this is just a mass of flesh, and it's not really a human being. And this Gosnell, this Dr. Gosnell, I think has helped us tremendously.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I remember watching on Fox, they just were going to talk about what he does, and one of the reporters was pregnant, and she says, I can hardly listen to this. You know,
well, I don't know if they've made enough about that whole case as they should. Really, I think the press has kind of soft pedaled.
Oh no, the secular press has, because of course it's contrary. It's just like in
Planned Parenthood sure doesn't want to hear about that.
No, they sure don't. And yet I think time is on our side in the abortion area, because more and more states, one state just went ahead and you can no longer have an abortion after 20 weeks, because scientifically the child feels more pain than after it is born. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
So, and that's why I really believe, I think there are going to be some religious denominations, unfortunately, that when they hear the word homosexual, it's kind of like you're hearing an alien from outer space or something, and they don't want any of that in their congregation. So they may lead the Boy Scouts, and a lot of them may end up, you know, taking their money away. And we may also do that if the Boy Scouts are not going to permit us to do what we've always done in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And we need to do that well. If we have a troop that's associated with a congregation, we've got to take an active part in that.
Yes.
You know, pastors have to, you know, they have to take part in that and let them know where we stand as far as these.
Number of our listeners, and I think I'm going to be bringing him on pretty soon. He wants to do a little bit more reading, who is actually active in helping homosexuals come back to being straight, is Thomas Eckstein, Pastor Thomas Eckstein. He's written that wonderful book, Bearing Their Burden. And you can go to Amazon.com if you're at all interested in this subject. Bearing Their Burden by Thomas Eckstein. I'd encourage you. I sold hundreds of copies, but we're out of them right now. But Amazon still has them. And he had a very interesting conversation with a homosexual who had gotten involved in his group and had ended up repenting of it. He's still a homosexual. Homosexuals are like alcoholics. You never lose,
right?
You know that. But he's no longer active. And the thing that he was talking about, which I find very interesting, is he says one of the worst problems with boys who feel they're gay is they hang around gay children and others, and therefore the best thing that can happen to them is that they would be involved with straight individuals, young men, and that would be a lot better opportunity. In fact, that's how I believe he had come out of it. And then he was counseled by a pastor properly, shown the scriptures, and through the power of the Holy Spirit was able to repent of that. But to me, the one denomination that probably will have to lead the Boy Scouts in light of their statements is the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, because they don't see any problem with homosexual activity. Their own pastors now are gay and so forth. So how they can, you know, support the Boy Scouts now, because the Boy Scouts have made it pretty clear that that kind of activity is contrary to their understanding of virtue. So it's going to be kind of interesting. Any other comments you've got on that?
No. Is there anything to be said about Planned Parenthood and its association with the Girl Scouts? Is that a whole different thing?
I'm totally ignorant of that there. I've heard some items when I'm going through the computer and looking at official statements. There were some people that are concerned about the direction that's going. But I think that's going to have to... I don't like talking about something when I'm really kind of ignorant of where that all is. I know there was a time... when, and you know me, I had heard the Girl Scouts now were in support of abortion. And at one of the Schnucks grocery store, they had a table there, and girls were there. And Girl Scouts, yes. I didn't go up to them. I went up to their parents, and I said, are you in support of abortion? Girl Scouts? They say, well, we don't know if they are, but we're sure not. So I bought cookies. Because, you know, those
still have good cookies, don't they?
They do. Those peanut butter ones? I don't know how they make them. But
yeah, we always buy a bunch of those.
Yeah, yeah. But, in fact, I forget what my daughter was in, but she had to sell cookies once, too, you know. But be that as it may, what we're really trying to say here is we need to be an inclusive church, that we ought not say anybody isn't invited to our worship services. I don't know what you do,
but
about
you don't want to endorse that.
No.
Well, we don't lifestyle either.
Well, that's when my members say they're poor, miserable sinners deserving, I don't endorse any of their sins. So why do you make something separate out of homosexuality? We're bringing in Boy Scouts that are thieves. Some may be on drugs. We don't exclude them. And
try to straighten them out, right?
That's right. That's the goal, is to straighten them up. And they need to realize that that's what they're joining at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Boy Scouts, that they're going to be hearing about the message of law and gospel, and we're going to do it in a loving way, and our goal is to get them to understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In fact, the National Lutheran Association on Scouting, here is their vision. This is National Lutheran Association, and many of our churches are involved with this. They're out of Seattle, Washington. Their vision is that all young people and their families are exposed to Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to know Him as Lord and Savior.
Well, that's good.
That is very good. And I pray that congregations will be kind of doing that. Okay, when are your worship services for this weekend?
Yes, Saturday at 5 p.m. In fact, we're having a baptism this Saturday.
Oh, really?
A baptism and service at 5 p.m. Saturday, and then Sunday at 9 a.m., followed by adult Bible class, which I teach.
Oh, okay. What's the subject?
It's on 1 Peter.
All right.
1 Peter. Oh. First Epistle of Peter.
All right.
Good
and
study.
I'm in Manitou, Illinois. I'll talk more about that later.
Good people out there.
God bless. Till tomorrow.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.